Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge our spiritual growth. Today we are discussing the armor of God.
We open the door for the enemy to come in and take the ground. We open those doors because we don't put the armor on. We don't claim the promises and stand upon the promises that He's given us. We don't know our doctrines. We don't know how to be light in a dark environment. Basically, we are, shall I just say, emotional failures unless we are willing to follow the tenets and the mandates that the Lord has laid down.
This is Sharon Hoskins. Please join Janie Ratzliff and I in this challenging conversation. To have the power of God, we need to know the precious promises, and we've talked about that. How to put on the armor to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, and that's where we're going today. And to know and reckon and apply the work of the cross for us and in us. Ephesians gives us everything that we need to know about how to be a warrior for Jesus Christ.
Well, it's beautiful because Ephesians 1 through 3 tells you what the character of Christ has done for us, that as part of the benefit package of salvation. It's also part of the retirement package for our destiny for all of eternity. And it's overwhelming. There's no way our mind can search the riches of that. And then Ephesians 4 and 5 tells us, now this is the way you're going to tell that you're appropriating 4 and 5. Chapters 4 and 5, these are the things you're to do. Now to activate, it's very simple. We are in Christ. He is our all in all. So He's not telling us that the weapons of our warfare is something that we can go pull out of a drawer or something that we can go purchase or obtain in our own strength. It's putting on Him. It's putting on life. And that's where your strength comes in the whole area.
It's just understanding that it's His character, it's His strength, it's His peace, it's His gospel, it's His truth. You know, all of those things that we have to learn what His character is, what His truth is, all of those things so that we can understand who He is to put Him on and how to defend ourselves from those fiery darts, because Satan is deceptive, isn't he? There's some things that he does that we really don't even recognize doing.
No, we get pulled up and then we don't realize how entrapped the enemy still pulls us as our hearts are looking unto the Lord, our motives are desirous for Him, and yet we still get entrapped and we look at our problems and we're saying, but why, Lord? Our heart is turned towards You. So today, hopefully, we can disclose and expose a little more subtleties of the enemy.
Yeah, I would like to hear that because I think we give him way more credit than he deserves. We give him more ground in our lives than we ought to give.
Yes.
And there's so much that we can do to defeat him. And yet we sit on our couch and we go, the devil's just got me beat up today.
Yeah, or it's all the devil's fault. Well, you know what? It may be the devil's fault, but if it is, did you give him an open door to walk right in and sit right down and make himself comfortable?
Exactly.
Does the enemy sometimes want you to think or feel that you are just ready to stop dead in your tracks, that you've just had too much on your plate? And you've gotten a little weary in well-doing. Now, I want to say we can legitimately get weary.
Yeah.
Okay, the body can wear out. The mind can get overloaded. But the verse says, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in the battle of applying the eternal so that the heavenly being that we are called to be can start to be manifested while we're still here, that we can give a witness to it, that we can give light to it.
Right.
And then, have you ever thought, oh, everything I try to achieve seems to come to nothing, or it seems to have so much conflict that I wonder, am I doing what I'm supposed to, or should I just shut everything down and start over? That probably is thinking from the enemy, because the Lord doesn't really call for timeouts. He does give the ability, as it says in Hebrews 4, to let you enter into His rest, so that everything you do, I do, is coming from Him. But it's not that we just decide to work on January, March, and April and take off June, July, and August.
Yeah.
It's that we can continue to persevere and be consistent, but be at rest. And when we're not, we better see where the enemy is influencing our thinking.
So those are two places that Satan gets in and causes problems with us. Is he gets us to thinking that there's no point to doing anything. It's not getting us anywhere, and gets us weary and exhausted.
Yes. Some dearly beloved, precious people are going to say, I hear about this battle, about putting on the whole armor, but I simply don't have the strength or the will to be a soldier. I would rather polish the pearly gates. I would rather sweep the golden streets. And that is the enemy leading us into deception, because we're thinking through our natural logic and understanding.
Okay.
That the strongest of saints can get pulled from the objective. And if you read many autobiographies or even just biographies of the saints and the warriors that have gone before, each one of them had a season, and sometimes months, sometimes years, when they realized that they had been caught up in the enemy's thinking without ever realizing it. They didn't realize how subtly it had been that the enemy was pulling them from
it. Well, he sure is tricky, isn't he?
Yes, yes. And the greatest protection, the greatest penicillin or ampicillin or tetracycline or whatever antibiotic that you want to use is the whole armor bathed in prayer.
Okay.
That gets the attention of hell. But that gets the attention of a triune Godhead, and we know who's the greater of those two.
Okay.
So when we decide to put on this armor, the first thing that the scripture tells us is, I am truth, the belt of truth. And so as we abide, and that means to be a comfortable and at home with the Lord, and we really need to know who He is before we can visit with Him in a comfortableness, because we know Him, and we put on the belt. That belt, what does a belt do? Well, it kind of holds everything together around your body. And when we're willing to do that, the Holy Spirit will give our spirit an openness to know the truth and a willingness to bring everything into the life to test God's Word. Sharon, even if it means sacrificing some of our dearest experiences. So let's just say I've had some experiences that look like it's the supernatural, and I really want to hang on to those because they have strong emotional remembrance to me. But perhaps they were not from the Spirit, but they were a tool of deception that has held me in a point of weakness. Then if I'm to know the truth, I may have to put away some of my memories of past experiences. Okay. And I'll quickly just say I have one precious friend who had an experience at salvation to where it was mighty. It was mighty. Maybe something like what was happened in the book of Acts. And so she then gauged all of her other communication based on that emotional high
experience.
And when it didn't happen, then she didn't blame the Lord. She blamed herself because she couldn't maintain that level. And actually, it was the enemy, because decades later, she recognized that even though her experience of accepting Jesus Christ had been real, that she had allowed her deception to establish a feeling that had to accompany all communion with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, let's face it, when we talk with our beloveds, we're not always on an ecstatic high with them. Sometimes it's, what do you want for dinner? Or would you take out the trash, beloved?
Yeah.
Okay, but we're still communicating. Uh-huh. I used to ask the Lord, let me feel your presence. And he finally came back and said, accept my truth, accept my promise. I am with you. I will never leave you. And if I never leave you and you are seeking me, accept that my presence is there and then move forward. Don't be waiting to feel me before
right.
you start to commune with
right.
me. Okay?
Well, that's a good point.
So that's one of the things in putting on the belt of truth. Go ahead.
When we put on the belt of truth, you said Jesus is truth.
Yes. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
The word is truth. Everything that holds us together with this armor has to come from Scripture.
Truth. That's foundational.
From the truth.
Yes. The truth sets us free, but lies bind us up in chains. So one of the main deceptive strongholds is to deceive us. And the enemy can deceive us with truth if it is not properly applied from the Spirit.
Okay, can you give me an example?
Well, all right. He can tell me, Janie, you worry too much. Just let go and let God.
Okay.
It sounds great.
Uh-huh.
I know organizations that have built on that particular phrase, let go and let God. And there's truth
in worrying.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I decide to take that in my own logic and understanding, and I go passive. I go passive. Lord, I'm so concerned, and I'm making a prayer now.
Okay.
Lord, I'm so concerned for Sharon, but you know, you just have your will with her. And I don't have any armor on to say, Lord, she's caught in this trap right now. There is an attack on her, and you've told me to come to you and pray specific and stand in the gap for her. But instead, I just say, well, Lord, she's yours, and I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm just going to say, you take care of her. Well, I'm letting a passivity come into my warfare strategy. Stop and think about what that same principle would have if you were out on the battlefield. Well, Lord, you know, you really probably know whether you're going to let this war be won or not. So I think what I'll do is just go kind of creep down here in the foxhole.
I know she's walking in a landfill full of mines.
But Lord, you just kind of help her step over the ones where you know where
okay.
they're planted. So you just kind of help. So do you see where
okay.
you can take the truth,
uh-huh.
but he doesn't want you to be knocking at his front door. This is the enemy speaking. So he will take truth and mix it. I mean, let's go back to the Garden of Eden, Sharon. Where did it all begin with mixing truth and falsehood?
And I guess we can go back to Matthew too, where he was tempting
in the wilderness
Jesus. So,
and he didn't use logic or reason. He used Scripture
uh-huh.
to try to get the Lord to respond through logic and reason. And the Lord wouldn't argue with him in logic and reason. He gave him back Scripture that showed that he was being dependent upon his heavenly Father's word and the promises that God Almighty had given to him, the Son, to sustain him. After 40 days in the wilderness, he was vulnerable.
Yeah.
God in flesh, but he was in flesh and hungered for 40
mm-hmm.
days. Those were real testings and temptations to him, but he had the foundation of the precious promises from his Father, and he stood on that and would not act independently of his Father. So does that give some understanding?
That absolutely does. I think that grabbing a hold of those precious promises has a lot to do with understanding the truth.
Yes.
What truth really is and how to put that on. Isn't the belt like the center of your body?
Well, yeah.
So that would be the center of
unless
of
you've
everything,
got,
right?
Unless you've got some very low riding hip huggers at somewhere today.
So basically the truth needs to be in the center of your whole armor.
And that's a good point, Sharon, because where do we get our balance in life except from the core, from the middle of where we are? Our mm-hmm. core muscles that support the upper and lower are around the waist, and slightly below the waist is where we have the core muscles. The next piece of armor that the scriptures in Ephesians 6 tell us is that we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we know from the scriptures that we have no righteousness of our own. Isaiah tells us that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. So it's only his righteousness, because he's the only one that can secure a right standing with us, with God the Father. He is the sacrifice that lived the life, that could pay the death, that could give us life.
Right.
Now, when we look at the breastplate of righteousness, where do you have the breastplate? Trying to have it in your back? No, it's right in the very front of you that covers the vital parts. In the Old Testament, when we talked about the inner being, the word that they used in the Old Testament referred to the kidneys as being the heart of man. But in the New Testament, we more or less talk about the inner man being the heart.
Right.
But it's our inner being, who we are. So the breastplate of righteousness really covers the vital organs.
Covers our heart.
That's right. For us to have life. And where the enemy wants to attack us in this particular piece, if we don't have it on, is he likes to come and continually accuse us of where we have messed up. He likes to attack our soul and accuse us of sin, our soul being the mind, will, and emotions. And so if he can pull us, because we don't have that breastplate guarding our thoughts and our actions and our heart and our inner being, then he will cause our soul to even turn up on ourself, and we will start to oppose the grace of God. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I've actually been there.
Okay, so Christ's righteousness gives us access to him, and then it destroys the devil's groundwork for attack. We have today where the scriptures talk about imputed righteousness. That's his putting on what he is onto us. And then we have imparted righteousness, that because of what he has given us, now we can live out and impart to others the righteousness of God. But if it doesn't begin with God and who he is and who the Son is and what he has done, there's no way a breastplate is going to keep our souls protected from the wiles of the enemy. He is smarter than we are, and he knows how to whack up our soul in our soul seeking comfort, in our soul seeking protectiveness, even the good things in our prayer life, where our prayer life is all directed towards
ourselves,
and where much of our music today concentrates on the beauty of what God does for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard recently where even one company that produces hymnals thought that we should remove Onward Christian Soldiers.
Really?
Yes, that's a
Why?
Fact.
That,
because it was too controversial and too upsetting to have to be in the warfare.
Oh, my.
Onward Christian Soldiers marching off to war. But I don't know how to live amongst evil and the enemy without being at war.
Well, and I'll just go back to what I said. Over and over and over, we are in war.
Already.
Already. The problem is we are laying down and we're being trampled.
Yes. Yeah. And we hate it. And then I had someone today talk about that we need to stand up and be accountable.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I think that's great. But can it begin in Grove, Oklahoma? Or are we just going to talk about the concept and never get it over to the practice?
Exactly.
You know, it's never been in the scriptures the majority that won the battles. Gideon had too many people.
Yeah.
All right? Noah had millions, billions, so historians tell us, and yet there was 8 righteous that persevered for 100 years to save mankind.
Right.
And so we can go through constant illustrations of where it was never the majority in the battle that necessarily won, but right. It was those that spoke out with boldness and with perseverance and with consistency.
Well, broad is the path that leads to destruction.
But narrow is...
And many go thereby.
That's right. So... That gives us a pretty strong exhortation for having our breastplate of righteousness. Now comes the peace, the shoes shod with the peace of the gospel. Sharon, have you ever had on a pair of shoes that didn't fit?
Yes,
and
I
that
have.
Hurt?
Yes.
And if you walked in them too long, your feet got cramps.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, I find it kind of interesting that the peace is given with in conjunction with the feet. And the feet are what we use for moving forward. And so as I practically look at that in my own life, I look at the fact that I need to be comfortable in how I stand on my feet, because the wrong pain in the feet go all the way up to the head. You know, the song about the ankle bone being connected to the thigh bone and on up, and it goes on up to the head. Now hear ye the word of the Lord, I think is what that course goes. So I need to be comfortable in what it is to share the gospel. And the Lord blessed with a couple of opportunities to do that. And you know, you just can't have the Roman road to salvation, as great as it is, as the only way you minister to people.
Right.
You may minister to someone in hospice differently than someone who has a callousness.
Right.
And so we need to be balanced on our feet in foundation as we share the gospel of peace.
Wow.
And the gospel of peace will bring peace to those that want to hear, and it will cause them to be able to stand on their feet. And for the saint that knows the Lord, it will also give us the boldness, because we have the peace that passes understanding in our hearts. So we go out and we share, and if someone doesn't accept it or gives us that, well, looking in their watch, thanks, I've got to go, that's okay, because we've been faithful as a steward.
Yeah.
And it's not our job to keep account of the records or the results. We're to be a steward of faithfulness, and then the Lord says, thank you, I've got it from here.
Wow, that's a really good illustration, because it is uncomfortable to wear shoes that hurt your feet. And so when you compare that with the gospel, if we're not comfortable, and that's probably a lot of the reason why people don't share the gospel of Christ. They don't share their faith. They don't share their testimony, because they really don't know how to take scripture and apply it to who they are, apply it to their testimony, apply it to their situation,
well,
and help them to see Christ in everything.
And now here's a sobering thought, Miss Sharon. Perhaps the saints are not sharing because there is uncrucified flesh in their natural life, and their spirit checks them on sharing, or they share out of a fleshly approach, even though they're desirous to share. But uncrucified flesh, when the enemy has hidden it from you, still causes you to not be effectual, and in somewhere you're not guarding your heart.
Well, and then you said the unbeliever sees light from darkness, and so they can tell when that uncrucified flesh is there.
And a lot of times they're sharper at it, because that's where they're living.
Mm-hmm.
So they recognize themselves in you,
right.
But they're wanting to see something different in you.
Right.
And especially if they see a compromise, that causes them confusion.
Yeah.
Well, you say
but
you do another thing.
Yeah.
So again, back to what it says in Timothy.
Or you say you're different, but then I see you act just like me.
There you go. And the Lord tells us that He wants us to have a sincere heart in whatever we do. So at any rate, that's just a thought. We certainly could spend the rest of the time.
We're out of time. So sorry, Janie.
Well, then I tell you what, let's just hope that another week quickly passes by, and we will just pick up exactly where we left off.
Okay, will you close us in prayer?
It'll have to be quick.
All right. Father God, thank you for your faithfulness and loyalty, and thank you for your armor. Amen.
Amen. If you would like to listen to this broadcast again, you can go to SharonHearts.org. Thank you for joining us today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.